People are already talking about how are the Chicago Bears, and particularly the Indianapolis Colts, going to come back next year, find a way to repeat, how impossible it is to achieve the pinnacle of success in any major sport and come back and do it again. And that's also the case in sports in general with free agency. The turnover is enormous. Yesterday's show, we had Nick Swisher, one of the rising young stars in Major League Baseball, who I think is going to have a huge year this year, talking about the loss of a Barry Zito. How do teams find a way to replace their stars when they get to that level? How do they find continuity? That's where the leadership, that's where the core of leadership, that's where the culture that the manager and the general manager and the players themselves, with the synergy, the interaction of their personalities, makes such a huge difference. That's why I think that the Colts do have a shot because of the adversity they went through last year, because of the way that they actually made it a positive, found a way, won their first nine games, took it easy, realizing that the key thing was that they were hot the way Pittsburgh was the year before going into the playoffs. Here's Nick Swisher about how the Oakland A's are going to find a way to recover from losing the highest paid and perhaps best pitcher, certainly one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Well, obviously, I mean, the guy's the highest paid pitcher in Major League Baseball. I mean, that's definitely a big part of the puzzle that's missing. But, you know, the one thing that the A's have thrived on doing in past years is, regardless of what person has left, there's always been that next guy to come up and fill the spot. And, you know, not only him, but losing Frank Thomas. You know, we lost Jay Payton. I mean, those are three huge guys that we lost, and three good buddies of mine. That's what I'm learning about this game, man, is that you can become friends, but you never know what's going to happen the next day.
You never know. And somehow the leadership among the players and the coaches that can find a way to release that leadership among their own players, give them enough ability to show leadership, is crucial, not depending just on a Peyton Manning. That, to me, is the lesson of the Indianapolis Colts. They realized they could win even when Peyton wasn't at his best. Coming up is a guy that will talk to us about the synergy within one of the two best teams in the NBA, Sean Marion, and how they have found a way to win without an Amari Stoudemire, and now Amari is back. Of course, Steve Nash, that whole interesting chemistry. Sean Marion, all-star forward on that and more on Head Games on Sports Bylines Network and Sirius Channel 122.
When other people say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now says, where would you like to sit? From the 50-yard line to orchestra seats to courtside, Tickets Now has the best seats for the biggest events. Go to TicketsNow.com today and select from the largest selection of premium seats for every major sport, concert, or theater event in North America. Available now at TicketsNow.com. That's TicketsNow.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're approved for a brand new Dell or HP computer with no credit check, so you won't be turned down.
Call Guaranteed Consumer Funding today to have your brand new computer shipped right to you, and we'll include over $700 in premium upgrades and a free MP3 player. For a new computer and improved credit score, call 800-787-2816. 800-787-2816.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
What would you do with the extra money if you didn't have a mortgage payment? Secure your retirement? Pay for college? Invest in real estate? Travel? Is your home paid for free and clear? Or do you have a 30, 40, or even 50-year mortgage? Or worse, are you making interest-only payments with no reduction on the debt? If so, you're on a treadmill going nowhere fast. At United First Financial, we have great news. Our average client will pay off their 30-year mortgage in as little as 8 to 11 years, potentially saving thousands in interest. You don't need to refinance your existing mortgage. You don't need to make more money, and there's no need to alter your current lifestyle. Our Money Merge account can help you own your home years sooner, wipe out your debts, and have real financial independence. Our program works with fixed rate, interest only, and even NEG-AM loans. This is not a biweekly mortgage program or a debt roll-down plan. Again, no refinance of your mortgage is needed. To receive our free DVD, please call 800-300-1096. That's 800-300-1096.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Welcome to Head Games with one of the most exciting, most dynamic athletes I've ever seen, Sean Marion. How are you?
Mar, how you doing, baby?
I'm doing fine, man. Listen, everybody talks about how tall you guys are. You're not that tall. It's just that you can jump through the roof. I mean, that team with you and Amari, every one of those guys, Boris Diaw, you guys to me look like you're 6'6", 6'7", maybe 6'8", not 6'10", and yet you are jumping through the roof. What is the key about that team in terms of athleticism? What is the thing that makes you unique?
Well, we're so versatile. We got so much versatility, man. Everybody can do a little bit of different things, more common than the regular player at the position they play. So that makes us a little bit more dynamic, you know?
You know, before we go into more specifics about that, I thought we'd have a little bit of fun with our friend, and you probably hear too much of him anyway, but Charles Barkley with Dan Reeves was on the show last week talking about race and leadership among black coaches in the NFL, and I thought I'd like you to listen to this and give me your comment.
You know, I wish that people would quit talking about how black they are and quit talking about, man, these guys are the hell of a coaches.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
I mean, these guys,
great coaches just happen to be black, because there's no color with either one of those guys. Yeah. When you're around them, they're just, you know, it's just, and I think that's what sports has done. There's no color there. You know, if you're a good athlete, doesn't make any difference. And that's what sports has done, is helped bridge that gap. It certainly did for me.
That was Dan Reeves along with Charles Barkley. Tell me what it meant for you. I mean, I'm assuming that you were able to watch the Super Bowl, Sean. What did it do for you to see, finally, somebody of the stature and the caliber as a human being, forget about just as a coach, as a Tony Dungy or a Lovie Smith, make it and actually win the championship in the NFL?
Man, I thought it was great, you know, just to see him up there, just two good coaches and two man, just two motivators. I think they motivate their team to go out there and give them their all, and you know, to see them go out there and accomplish one of their goals was amazing. But at the same time, though, it seemed like every time African American or black player, coach, or anybody accomplished something that hasn't been done before in our race, you know, it seemed like they blow it out of proportion, you know, sometimes, you know, and make it more headlines than any other person, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I guess it's the first time somebody in that race has done it. Okay, so to say it and be over with and be done with it, now label them as a hell of a coach now, you know?
As a coach, and another thing they would say is, you know, it's about time an African-American coach was called a genius the way they call Eric Mann genius with the New York Jets. Let's talk about in the locker room when it's so intimate, because you've only got 10, 15 guys. You know, you've got that starting eight, shall we say, that are playing a majority of the time with your team, but they're all right there, all close to each other, spending so many minutes and hours with their families. Race really is over-exaggerated today, isn't it? I mean, you've got Mike D'Antoni, who's been there in Italy and has such a great integrated staff. You guys seem like a family. Do you believe, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, tell me, do you believe race is much of an issue today in the NBA? I'm just talking about when you're playing on a team between the blacks and the whites.
Well, no, I don't think so. But I guess sometimes it's always there. You know what I'm saying? It's just sometimes, you know what I'm saying, people have a tendency to overlook it or overshadow it. But it's there, you know what I'm saying? I just see it. I see it sometimes, you know. And in my profession, I do see it still a lot, you know. And it pisses me off sometimes, but it is what it is. And sometimes, you know, it's just hard to really analyze it and see how it's coming. But it's there. Believe that.
Yeah, and the place where it was perhaps most obvious was in the bigger picture of the brawl with the Nuggets and the Knicks, and how you look at the Cincinnati Bengals with 9 arrests, and yet it has somehow not become a major issue in the NFL, in a league where, even though it's 70% African-American athletes, it's not perceived quite the same way as the NBA. Why do you think it is that the reactions have been so severe with the NBA when things like the brawls in Detroit and in New York have taken place?
That's because we are more visible, I think, to a certain extent. Because we see, you see our faces and our pictures every time. You see our faces on TV. Night in, night out. NFL, they got helmets, so you can't really see them. And at the same time, it's like it seems like they pub our salaries more than they pub the NFL salaries and stuff. And you know, it's a lot that come into the point of that. But the thing is, though, it sucks because I think the NBA we do so much and giving back to the communities and stuff. It get overshadowed by all the bad stuff, you know.
Yeah, here's Mark Stein from ESPN.com on the same subject.
Are just treated much more harshly in the media for their transgressions than they are in the NFL and some of the other major sports. And this year was the first time we really had a good dialogue about that people are finally starting to see that it hasn't been fair, that this league, which obviously has a majority of black players, that these guys have been taking heat for their missteps. You know, look at the Cincinnati Bengals. What if they had 9 players arrested in the last 9 months? You know, they haven't gotten nearly the heat that NBA players get.
So just to put it to rest, what would you say to the media that cover both sports about how they can be a bit more fair about appreciating just what a great sport the NBA is and not make it so that the NBA gets so much more heat than any other sport?
I mean, when people do good stuff, blow it up even more out of proportion. I think, you know, it just seems like every time something little happens, it gets headlines. But every time we do something good in charity or in community or something, it just get little quotes in the bottom of the paper or just little flash on the screen. But you know, it just sucks sometimes. But you know, it is what it is. I mean, I can't. I'm not doing a job. I guess their job is to find stories and headlines to put in the paper and to get people's attention. So you know, that's what they do. You know, I don't know what they can do to change their jobs or whatever, make it more fair. But you know, it's just ways you can go about it. You know what I'm saying? And no, ain't nobody perfect. Everybody make mistakes. So I mean, you
nobody's
go down
perfect.
And see who has and who has done what drugs and all this stuff, man. You know, I mean, I like to see what the ratio is, what the numbers is. You know, exactly what every crime ever done in any and all sports. I like to see what the ratio is.
Let's talk about some good stuff here, which is how much better all of you are playing this year, as well as you played. To me, especially, Sean Marion showed me so much last year, the way you became a dominant rebounder, especially on the offensive side, the defensive side. You know, you became the force in the middle that was necessary when Amari was gone. Now, tell me about the changes now, because you've got Steve Nash hitting almost 50% from 3 points. All of you are taking your game up to another level. What is your perspective on what has been the key addition, the key improvement this year?
Well, it seemed like we just gonna have to just playing ball, man. I think all of this stuff, you just when you get to a certain age and a certain level in this league, man, it's not about, you know what I'm saying, putting up numbers in the scoreboard. It's about going out there winning, you know. And like I said, everybody on this team is paid now, so ain't nobody gotta worry about getting no contracts, nothing. So thing is, now everybody wanna win, you know. And that's the mentality is around here.
Okay, so let's talk about you and who it's going to end up being. I know that it's going to be you and the Mavericks. Everybody's looking at it. As long as you can stay healthy and get Steve back. Charles, the whole thing continues to be that the Mavericks, you know, they hit the big shots to take you out and Dirk Nowitzki there last year, that they are hungry because they gave it away to Miami last year. What's your response to that?
Well, you know, you don't know nothing until the playoffs come, because anything can happen in the playoffs, man. You know, regardless of who you matched up or who you are. And who you playing, man? And you know, we just gotta stay healthy. You know, unfortunately, the last couple of years in the postseason, we haven't had injuries. First year, Joe Johnson went down. Last year, Rodman went down. You know, and Kurt went down like 20 games before the season. But he came back right in the playoffs, but he wasn't really ready to come back though. So at the same time, man, you know, I think if we can stay healthy, man, that's our biggest thing right there.
And finally, Sean Marion, you and your relationship with Amari Stoudemire, what is the difference you see now that he's fully healthy in his attitude and the way he brings it every night?
Well, you know, it's a little bit more, you know what I'm saying, more team-oriented. I think he's just, you know, learned, and he's willing to learn.
He appreciates it more.
Definitely. And, he's learning. And that's the thing, you know what I'm saying, he's trying to learn, so... the more he's trying to learn and pick up stuff, man, the better it is to help us, and he can help himself too, you know, on the floor. You know, and that's what's gonna help us get far.
Well, Sean, we appreciate you joining us, my friend. Good luck the rest of the year, and we're going to be watching how you begin to pick apart those other major teams in San Antonio, Dallas, etc. Stay healthy, my friend.
Thanks, man. Good luck to you, man.
Thank you. One of the greatest athletes I personally have ever seen, Sean Marion. When we come back, Luke Jensen on the Davis Cup, and then we're going to switch to our usual Friday focus on youth sports. And on upsets, how do you prepare young athletes for dealing with adversity when they're playing against teams that on paper are much, much better? How do they deal with the pressure, and how do you deal with upsets? On Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us. It's a great day on U Sports. We'll be right back.
Chances are, you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number, 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now, 1-800-471-TERM, 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now.
Available now from Doubleday Books. Real Baseball, Baseball's Golden Era. The Way America Witnessed It. In the Movie Newsreels. Author Les Krantz brings a celebration of the golden age of baseball through the movie house newsreels that once presented the game's great plays and players to fans across the country. Real Baseball is an enchanting look back at baseball from 1932 to 1965. This handsomely illustrated volume, with a foreword by Hall of Fame catcher Yogi Berra, traces the seminal role of newsreels in making baseball the national pastime before television brought the game into houses across America. This book also includes a one-hour DVD that features the most thrilling moments from original newsreels hosted by baseball great Joe Garagiola. Stay tuned to Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network for your chance to win a copy of Real Baseball by Les Krantz from Doubleday. Available now wherever books are sold.
If you think that you have to fight the crowds and long lines this tax season, think again. The Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center will prepare you tax returns over the phone. We could tell you how easy and convenient it is, but our clients say it best. Just listen.
No appointments necessary. You get on the phone as simple as A, B, and C.
I saved a lot of money doing it over the phone and quickly.
I knew that they were going to take full advantage of all the tax laws to help me.
It was fast and convenient, and they were very professional.
Just pick up the phone and call them. You won't believe the results unless you call them. They're there for you. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. Call them now.
Call the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center today. We'll work hard to get you the biggest refund possible. Time to prepare tax returns and refund qualifications will vary. Services not available in New York or Oregon. Call now and you'll save 10% off our tax preparation fees. Call 800-923-3265. That's 800-923-3265. 800-923-3265. Call now.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome back. We're going to be joined by Luke Jensen in just a minute and Dr. Andrew Jacobs and focus on youth sports and coaching. But before we do, here are a couple highlights from yesterday's interview with Herman Edwards and his perspective having been brought in and brought to the next level as assistant head coach with a guy named Tony Dungy back with Tampa Bay. And here's what he said about Tony's arrival in Indy.
That they were going to get a coach that was very, very consistent. He was, he didn't change. You know, he was going to be this way. He did it his way. has the same kind of philosophy. My father was in the military, so I understand about teaching, details, being disciplined. And that's what Tony brought to the table, the Indy. And that, along with a track record of going to the playoffs.
That was Herman Edwards. We're joined by Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Andy, I'm sure you watched the game, and you've known a lot about Herman Edwards and Tony Dungy as well. What is it about Tony's leadership that strikes you as the unique thing that, again, gives us a chance to appreciate him just as the coach he is and begin to separate out any of this racial stuff that clouds the issue of how great a coach he is anyway?
Well, the thing that impressed me, Nick, and it's good to be with you as always, about Tony Dungy.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, you're welcome. It's his demeanor. Okay, and I what I liked about Tony Dungy, watching him coach throughout the playoffs, was you saw a man who was together, was focused, he was under control. And in listening to comments made about him by Herman Edwards and many other people, you hear about a man who doesn't lose his cool, who has things under control, and has a way about him that permeates through the coaching staff and the players. It's a man who I heard has only been heard to have cursed once all season, keeps it together, and has a game plan of what he's doing.
He cursed once?
I heard that was one time this season. A profanity came out. That was it.
What word was that? I'm just interested. My mother, by the way, I never heard my mother swear, but her favorite saying when she really had to say something was "God's flaming teeth."
Well, the question
what did Tony
is, when you and your twin sister were born, how was she feeling? But that might be a different situation. But anyway, the fact is this: Mr. Dungy had an aura about him throughout the season that I think went through the coaching staff and the players, that showed that when the pressure was on, we can perform and focus on what we had to do. The game against New England, where they were down, was it 21-3 at halftime?
It was 21-6. They came back for that important field goal, which made a big difference, I think, in their confidence at halftime.
But when they came back, and you know, I heard what he talked about in the locker room. He said, we get the ball, let's score, let's stop them, let's score, and we'll be right back in the game. And indeed, that's what happened. And I think it was that calm ability, rather than somebody, you know, when we talk about, and one of the things we wanted to talk today about, you know, upsets in sports, why do they happen? People lose their cool. People take things for granted and they lose their cool. Tony Dungy doesn't lose his cool. And, you know, he's coached to the face of adversity, losing his son. And you have to admire a guy like this. And I think what he's done proves that, you know, people can perform under pressure at very high levels.
Here's another quote from our good friend Herman Edwards about the challenge that they faced in turning around an organization. And I want to use this as some of the underpinnings of our discussion about setting up young athletes for how they deal with adversity.
How hard it was in the beginning to change people's attitudes, because we all believe the same thing. It's your attitude really kind of dictates where you're going to go in life. And I think if you have a positive attitude and you look at things that way, you can be successful a lot quicker than the other way.
And to me, the bottom line is, look at their reaction. I don't think that reaction would have been the same a year ago. But if you listen to the huddles, if you listen to the players on the sidelines and the closeness and the intensity, the fact that they would say again and again, weather that storm right before the game against Baltimore, in Baltimore, knowing how intense, their achievement of beating Baltimore was not a small feat. And they did it with field goals. They took what they had. It was the leadership of Manning, but it was also the maturity of that team as well. Let's shift, if you will, to the subject of how you prepare young athletes for dealing with upsets, for dealing with adversity, and then we'll be joining our next segment with Fred Eng for the National Alliance for Youth Sports, who has a lot of anecdotes about that.
Well, yesterday I had a young athlete in my office who is a golfer, a female golfer, and we talked about this whole issue of what happens when you don't play well. What happens when you start the tournament off and hit your first drive out of bounds? I said, how do you handle that? She goes, well, you know, in the past it's always been something that has frustrated me, and then it carries over into the next shot, and the next shot, and my game goes to pot. If I hit that bad shot on the first hole, my game's over. And I said, well, you know, sports is all about learning how to deal with failure, more so than winning. We all go out and compete. And for young athletes, they want to go out and have fun, but they want to win. And when they lose, I think what happens is that the most important lesson they can learn comes from their parents and the coaches who are working with them when they lose, about how to deal with it, how to learn from it, and how to grow from it. The athletes who don't get taught that message, Nick, I think have trouble moving on, and the result for them is they never learn how to deal with failure at a high level of performance.
We're talking with Dr. Andrew Jacobs, who's a nationally known, recognized sports psychologist who works with players and athletes from all levels, but in particular, we're interested on Fridays in focusing on how kids learn the right lessons from the beginning. How do you set up, let's start with age groups, with kids that are first coming into sports. Let's say they're seven-year-olds and they're just beginning in Little League. What advice would you give the coach in terms of helping set them up so they understand that they need to work hard, which is one thing I don't see. We talk about work ethic all the time with Luke Jensen, for instance, but also that they work through adversity when they're disappointed, when they fail, when there is a public humiliation, which is one of the first lessons you get or experiences you get in sports.
I think one of the things that youth sport coaches need to do, quite frankly, is sit down with parents before they work with the kids and talk about their philosophy about winning and losing, most importantly about having fun. But what are we going to teach these kids? What are we here to do? We're here to teach them how to grow and learn this sport. And part of learning and growing in this sport is what happens when you don't succeed. Yeah, you want to score the goal. Yeah, you want to hit a home run. Yes, you want to score a touchdown. Yes, you want to make a basket. But it doesn't happen all the time. And how you teach them how to handle that situation when it doesn't work is just as important as it is when you pat them on the back when it works for them. Mark Turgeon's the basketball coach at Wichita State University. Last year,
formerly at KU.
Player at KU, actually was there when I was the team psychologist. He was a freshman when I was the team psychologist up there. And I could tell right when I met him that you knew he was going to be a coach. You just knew it. It was in his demeanor. It was his attitude. And plus, he was only like 5'9", 5'10", so you knew he probably wasn't going to play that long. But the fact was this. There was an interesting article written about him recently where it quoted a number of the players on the team saying, one of the things I love about Coach Turgeon is that he doesn't yell and scream. He coaches. When they make a mistake, he pulls them aside and asks them, what did you do wrong? And let's talk about what you have to do to correct it the next time. Instead of criticizing them, he works with them to get better. These players want to win for him. They want to play for him. And to me, that's what coaching young athletes is about. When a youngster makes a mistake, rather than criticizing them, getting mad at them because you're upset, I think your job as a youth sport coach is to coach them on what did you do. Ask them what they did wrong if they know it. And a lot of them don't even know. And then try to teach them what to do to make it right. That is the
what about the percentage also of positive versus negative? We're joined by our buddy Luke Jensen, the Ronnie Lott of tennis. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm in the 7 feet of snow in Syracuse, baby.
And you got a big match tonight for Syracuse. I thought we'd bring you into the conversation and maybe touch on Davis Cup for the last couple minutes of this segment and then go back to the idea of adversity in general. But Luke, let's talk just for a second, Dr. Jacobs, if you will permit me. The Davis Cup is, of course, one of the ultimate forms of tennis adversity because you're dealing with people in the stands that feel like they have culturally, in the Davis Cup culture, the right to yell and scream and try to interrupt and distract. Tell us about that and how that affects the play, and then a little bit about this matchup that starts actually today.
Yeah, it's really interesting how, you know, just in sports in general, when I was really starting to follow as a kid in the 70s all the way through, it seems when I grew up and we grew up, when you cheered for your team, it was to support your team. And I don't know where along the way it became you were there to distract the opponent. You were there to try to throw them off their game. And, you know,
look at college basketball.
Basketball, you know, and they're waving their hands and things. I don't know if that crosses the line of bad taste and bad sportsmanship. You know, I've played in some hostile environments in the game of tennis, and I knew what I was stepping into. And my greatest moment as a tennis player was when I faltered as a USC Trojan. We were undefeated at the time, and it came down to my two matches, and I kind of fell down to the pressure. And after those matches, I got stronger. I worked harder. I became a better competitor because of that. But, you know, there were people throwing beer on me, spitting at me, going nuts. And it was an environment that wasn't very friendly at all.
Oh, gosh. I remember that grandma in the Buffalo parking lot giving me and the whole team the finger a few years ago, thinking, gosh, you know, you go to different environments. Buffalo's one of them. Oakland's one of them, where they are going to try to get under your skin. In the last 30 seconds of this segment.
She was really telling you who was number one, Nick.
Yeah, that was it. But But Luke, there's something in you that said, what am I going to learn from this? Where did that come from?
Well, I mean, to me, I was very fortunate to have parents, have a support system that kept me focused, that really stressed to me that this is where you want to be. But the only way to shut these people up is by doing your job and getting, you know, getting the best out of your ability. Now, you may not win, but if you let them affect you and let them get to your mind and affect your play, then they have won. And so it was always to sit there and play with class and play with intensity and then take that loss and use it to become a better player. In this case, I became a much better professional because of that match.
When we come back, Luke Jensen, the Ronnie Lott of tennis, baby, USC Trojans, and more with Fred Ang and Dr. Andrew Jacobs about adversity, how you teach and mold young athletes to look at adversity as the best darn thing that ever happened to them, on Head Games, on Sports Byline, and Sirius Channel 122. It is one of the most important lessons anybody can learn. Stay with us.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at homebiz47.com. That's homebiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring. I have corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to homebiz, the number 47.com. That's homebiz47.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
In today's active world, everyone is turning to exercise and sports to stay young and keep in shape. Both activities can be painful. And what about the aches and pains of arthritis and tendinitis as we age? Now, there's an over-the-counter product with active ingredients that can help relieve pain quickly. It's called Blue Goo. Blue Goo is loaded with emu oil, MSM, eucalyptus oil, glucosamine, chondroitin, and other healthful ingredients that give you lasting pain relief. Whether it's muscle strains and sprains, tendinitis, headaches, back and neck aches, arthritis, or joint pain relief, Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel is for you. It's fast, effective, and affordable. Blue Goo, the real pain reliever, is available in the analgesic department. Or ask your pharmacist for Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel. Accept no substitutes. Make sure it's Blue Goo, the only name to trust in pain relief. Let Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel work for you. Blue Goo, if you have a problem or pain, we have a solution. Blue Goo. Have you heard about podcasting? It's the next big thing. With podcasts, your favorite radio shows like Sports Overnight America and the Video Game Review are delivered directly to your computer, automatically, so you can listen when and where you want, as many times as you want. And it's easy, too. Just go to sportsbyline.com and click on the Get Podcast button next to the show you want. Visit sportsbyline.com today.
Well, I don't like to politicize it because it's not about being a Democrat or Republican. They both suck, to be honest with you.
And now back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
You have to have emotion and energy to win in the National Football League. So we know we're going to have that, but we work in practice on precision and performing under pressure. We put ourselves, our offense and our defense, in those situations where you're going to have your emotion flowing. We practice against each other, offense against defense, our first group against pride riding on it. so that you do get that idea of how can I function best when I do have a lot of energy and emotion going.
That was, of course, Tony Dungy, the king, if you will, of the coaching hill right now. And here's a young coach in Luke Jensen. And we're also joined by Fred Eng from the National Alliance for Youth Sports. Fred, as always, thanks for joining us.
I thought you were going to say I was a king.
Well, you are the king of the youth sports hill, buddy.
Glad to be there.
Hey, Luke, you've got a big contest. This is, I think, your first match with Syracuse and the women's team. When you listen to Tony Dungy talk about getting his guys ready, how much does that ring true for you?
Oh, absolutely. I had to change the environment here at Syracuse University. This is a team that hadn't been ranked nationally since 2001, but had all nationally ranked junior players on its collegiate team. They had underachieved, and so the first thing I did was we were going to work on attitude and fitness. And as we went along, they kept on thinking that my expectations were much higher than theirs. And I said, the winning will take care of itself, but we have to train to win. We have to believe that we can win. And every single day, we're taking that step towards that. And so much of the athlete is buying into the system that you believe in them, and they believe in their dreams.
Fred Eng, you have to inspire and cultivate a system of standards to raise the game, if you will, to make sure kids get the right experience, that parents and coaches get the right experience. It's not just about building a beautiful tennis court or building a great softball or football or soccer field. Tell me some of the best examples. Give us one to start off this segment about how kids have to deal with adversity and the best way to go about that.
Well, I'll give you a quick example. I was watching a T-ball game, and we're talking kids that are 5 and 6 years old one day. I saw a kid on the pitcher's mound who looked like he was probably 12 years old. And I'm saying, you got to be kidding. That wasn't the worst of it. He threw the ball with all kinds of speed. He got up to bat and he'd crack the ball away. He was the same age as these other kids. And these other kids are looking and saying, you know, what am I doing out here with this big kid, this almost bully to them? And
this guy with the 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, right. And so what happens is the kids, especially, you know, when you're at the T-ball age or you're coming up, people don't realize that they're early maturers and late maturers. The early maturers, man, they're the ones that put fear into the hearts of these kids, and that's a fallacy of youth sports because kids can vary for 4 years in age. You can either be an early mature or late mature, meaning there's a four-year variance. And so that's what kids have to deal with in adversity of growing up and overcoming that. Some kids can. Some kids are filled with tremendous amount of fear, and all they do is run up to daddy and mommy and say, I want out of here. I want out of here. This isn't fun. And that's the adversity that kids have to deal with in their initial version of all of this.
Dr. Jacobs, what would Michael Jordan have done if he hadn't grown that extra 6 inches before his senior year? He went from being, what was it, you know, 6 feet tall, 5'11", to 6'5", 6'6", and went on to score 29 points as a senior. But before that, he'd been a very good but not really top-ranked player. What would he have done?
Well, we probably wouldn't have heard of his name. My sense is, you know, failure is something that we all have to deal with at different points in our life, and not achieving our goals is something we all have to deal with. And how you adjust to that when you get to the age you're talking about with the Michael Jordan at the high school level really comes from the lessons you've learned from your parents and from your coaches at a younger age. I mean, Luke is working with these young ladies to try to get them to change their attitudes around. And attitudes which can be taught and developed are things that can change. But the problem is a lot of people are taught the wrong things, and they're taught they can't rather than they can.
You know, in Native Vision, Luke Jensen, back 10 years ago, we had Tiffany Milbritt and Christy Pierce, who were with the U.S. soccer team before they won the big championship. And we were playing basketball with them as well as soccer. And these girls were excellent. I'm talking excellent, fearless basketball players playing with former NBA players, NFL players who were twice their size. And I thought to myself, this team is going to be something. What is it about some groups of girls that have the youth sports experience where they play as a team, where they learn that adversity is their friend, not their enemy?
Well, I think that really comes down to your upbringing. I have a couple of girls on my team, and we have private meetings and weekly reviews on how things are going. And it's come to light that they were made to play the game of tennis, that they really don't even like tennis. They get it, they get an education by it, and they're good at it, but they don't enjoy going to the practice court. They don't like competition. So to me, my parents and parents from the Agassiz, I see parents have such a huge role to play in a positive light. The Williams sisters are a great example. They believe they're the best. They can be out of shape. Maybe they're injured, but they believe they're there to win, that they have the capability to do it. And like the soccer players or any athlete that has performed at such a high level, you've got to have that feeling inside that you're the best.
And no matter the parental experience, Fred Eng, Andre Agassi, I played an exhibition against him with Ivan Lendl back in 1988 in the middle of the football season at night, and it was such an honor. And this was an 18, 19-year-old. I wasn't used to, you know, the guys getting the ball back. I was enjoying him hitting it harder and harder. And he was, some people would say, kind of a punk there at 18. So even though his parents, Luke Jensen, were great in many respects, he had to learn on his own some of those fundamental lessons. So let's start first with Fred Eng about that. What is it then that makes the transition so that the young person who's depending on good parental support begins to be able to learn their own lessons and apply those on their own?
Well, and it goes to what Luke said a couple of weeks ago, and that is, I remember him talking about, you asked him the question about Maria Sharapova, what would he do,
sure,
you know, in that situation. And he is exactly right once again, and that is, in terms of parents, it all becomes in the beginning of teaching kids ethics and fair play and sportsmanship, all of the things that they can instill in their kids. That's where you'll find the great athletes of the next step up the ladder, and that is at the collegiate level or the pro level. You look at these people that have those ethics, and those are the people in the long run that really succeed, make it all the way up to the pro Hall of Fames. You look at all the things today, the people, whether it's the McGuires or whoever, their question going into the Hall of Fame, it's because of that early beginning of training and ethics. And that's the thing that is so important to all of us here at the National Alliance, to be able to instill in parents, to be able to say, this is what you're producing for the future, and it's not just an athlete.
Dr. Jacobs, and I want Luke to follow up on this, is you saw a different Serena Williams. She was 20 pounds overweight. Luke and I talked about it every day early in the Australian Open, but she was playing for, she was enjoying it. It has become her sport. It has become something that is her definition. She's writing her own chapters. And at the end, when she won, she said she dedicated it to her sister who'd been killed more than a year ago. So let me ask you this. Is the focal point when the young person becomes, if you will, a young adult, just like an Andre Agassi went from just playing for himself to understanding that the game was bigger than him? Does it require that kind of monumental experience like Serena had to realize that you got to learn to have goals that are bigger than just you?
I think that can work for a lot of people, but I think the bigger issue is maturity. And I think for a lot of young athletes, when they hit a point in their career, and maybe it's at 14, maybe it's at 26, but there comes a point for all of us where we're faced with having to act in a mature way and start to really realize some things. And I think for her, this became an internal motivator that challenged her, even though, as Luke mentioned, when she first was playing there, she was out of shape and a step slower. She still was able internally to channel her attitude, her direction, her motivation, her focus to play better than everybody else. And I think Serena Williams was mentally far superior than all of her opponents, because she would not quit and give up.
Luke, tell me what you tell your young athletes at Syracuse on the women's team there that you've just taken over. You're trying to set the table, if you will, for your regime there as the coach and turn things around. How would you use the Serena Williams example?
Yeah, I think, Nick, first of all, there's a great, great ad on Nike.com on Serena Williams. As soon as you punch up Nike.com, there's a big little commercial, short commercial, with Serena Williams that talks about dedication and belief and power. So everyone should go to that, Nike.com. But when I talk to these girls at this collegiate level, I really want them to keep things in perspective, that it's just a tennis match. This is not life and death. It's just win or lose. And wins will take care of itself if you prepare to succeed. And so much of, they put so much pressure that we have to win. I just want them to have fun. And if they have fun, we will win. It doesn't, you know, the score doesn't matter. Are we having fun at practice? Are we having fun when the pressure's on? Those are the real champions.
You know, when they interviewed Dwight Freeney yesterday, what was interesting, and once again, a sign of how this team matured over the last year, is when that opening kickoff, just as the previous 2 weeks ago, and when they had had the Patriots get way ahead, when that opening kickoff by Hester could have thrown them off, Freeney said, listen, we understand we have to lock down for four quarters. Dr. Jacobs, how would you define that? How would you define the idea that the athlete in any sport has to lock down and understand that it's a four-quarter game?
Well, it's the old saying, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, and you have to look at the whole put it all in perspective. It's a long day, and one play doesn't end the game at the beginning of the game. You've got to look at the whole picture. When you go out and play golf, like I said earlier, when you hit your first tee shot into the woods, you've still got a whole 18 holes to play.
And not that you've ever done that before.
What's that?
Not that you've ever done that before.
Yeah, well, we've all done it. And,
oh, yeah.
And the thing is this. You know, Luke, how many times did you double fault the first time on the first point? I mean, it happens, but it's the first point, and you can come back after that. You know, it's the whole situation. I like to use the quote that my great-uncle, Hirsch Jacobs, when he died, was the winningest trainer in horse racing history, told me. Sports is the greatest theater in the world. Everyone knows their part, but no one knows what will happen. You've just got to keep
guys. Here's Tony Dungy. Speaking of golf, and then we'll wind up with our conclusions about this with Fred Eng. Here's Tony Dungy about golf.
I think I've got it. He's going to play well, so I've got to play better. I think golf is the ultimate game of blocking out everything and playing against the course and trying to take everything else out of it. And that's what Tiger seems to do better than anyone playing right now.
Fred Enge, let's get back to you now with the National Alliance. If we're setting standards for coaching, what's the fundamental standard that you would say can be expected of all coaches in how to set their athletes up for adversity?
And this has been said 1,000 times everywhere in the world, but with children, and we have to remember there's a big difference, but below the age of 13, this is not sports. This is a developmental process socially, and it needs to be fun for kids or else they'll quit.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Luke Jensen about applying that lesson of dealing with adversity to the Davis Cup with final thoughts from Luke Jensen, Dr. Andrew Jacobs, and Fred Enge of the National Alliance for Youth Sports. Stay with us. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite Channel 122.
How would you like to cut your credit card payments by 30% or more? Genesis Financial can help. They have a program that can reduce your high interest rates to single digits or even 0%. You can get more cash in your pocket every month to ease the stress and burden of excessive credit card bills.
Genesis Financial helped us, so we can sleep at night again.
We can even answer our phone.
The weight's been lifted off our shoulders.
Working with Genesis, we truly feel like our prayers were answered.
Get a fresh start without going bankrupt, plus get hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let them show you how to cut your debt by 30% or more and save you thousands in interest, late fees, and penalties. The consultation is absolutely free. Call 800-470-4331. That's 800-470-4331. Don't wait another minute.
Genesis Financial gave us our life back.
Not available in all states. Individual results may vary. Genesis Financial, 800-470-4331.
Is credit card debt making your life miserable?
Are you tired of harassing phone calls and struggling to make ends meet?
You may qualify for a little-known program through Debt Consultants of America.
This program allows you to pay back only a small portion of the credit card debt you owe.
In fact, up to 60% of your credit card debt could completely be wiped clean.
It's a proven program.
The best part is Debt Consultants of America does all the work for you.
Plus, you don't have to pay back a penny of the debt that they settle for you.
So grab all your credit card statements and call for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Their friendly counselors will give you all the details.
Call 800-761-3480. That's 800-761-3480.
You need to have at least $10,000 in credit card debt to qualify for this program.
For your free, no-obligation consultation, please call us. 800-761-3480. Call now, 800-761-3480.
This is Merlin Olson. Have you called the NASE yet? The National Association for the Self-Employed is one of your best resources to obtain access to affordable health, dental, vision, and critical illness plans. The NASC also offers other health, business, and personal benefits. If you are self-employed or own a small business, do what I did. Call the National Association for the Self-Employed. Call today to find out how the NASC can be your best resource for affordable benefits.
Call the NASC now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Big solutions for small businesses. Insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance, so call right now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Not available in all states.
Welcome back. Talking about youth sports and dealing with adversity, and Luke Jensen, James Blake is going to be facing number 12, Thomas Berdych, who you consider to be a rising star. And even Andy Roddick had 5 break points against him by the 160-ranked player in the world, Ivo Minar. He won that match. Tell us what you think is going to happen this weekend.
Well, I think that it really comes down to the Americans staying focused and believing in themselves. They're in a very hostile environment right now. Captain Patrick McEnroe is on the sideline. They have everything covered from the fact where there is a lot of confidence within this group. They had a record year last year. Our doubles team is playing on Saturday. They're the number one team in the world. They've only lost one match in Davis Cup play. I think they're 8-9-1 in Davis Cup play. So we got that point in the pocket. And going out there and playing up to our potential. If you do that with the right frame of mind, good things are going to happen.
We should win the doubles on Saturday. How do you see it? Do you think we are more than 50-50 to win this?
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, it comes down
even
to
on a slow red clay.
Healthy. Yeah, it really comes down to executing your game plan, putting yourself in the right frame of mind to be successful, and they can play on any surface. It's just dealing with the elements, dealing with the crowd, dealing with the things that can try to distract you.
Okay, guys, well, I want to thank all of you for joining us today. Fred Eng, how do people learn more about the fantastic work of the National Alliance for Youth Sports?
NAYS.org, Nick. Let them get here.
NAYS.org, and it's an awesome thing. And there are 130,000 people involved, but we want to double that in the next 5 years, don't we?
Absolutely, worldwide.
Dr. Jacobs, again, if people want to work with you or get to learn more about Winners Unlimited, how do they do that?
They can just call my office at 816-561-5556 or check out my website, which is winnersunlimited.com.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. And finally, Luke Jensen, you're in the locker room in the next couple hours getting that team ready. What are you going to say to them?
We've got to get business going. This is our home. This is our place. They're standing in our way. Let's get it done, ladies.
We must protect this house.
We must protect this house.
Hey, Luke, love you, buddy. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you about a winning Davis Cup performance on Monday. Gentlemen, thank you. Appreciate
Game
it. Game on, baby. Monday show, going to have Hall of Famer Steve Largent, former congressman, talking about the receiver position, talking about athletes and their roles on and off the field. Next week, we're working on getting the great one himself, Wayne Gretzky, for one of our first interviews on hockey. Marv Levy will be joining us, and of course, Luke Jensen and the Davis Cup. Go to Head Games Radio, www.headgamesradio.com, for all the highlights. Have a great weekend.